T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy Wednesday here on WGR. No instigators, no Wombills live for a few days. Taking a nice vacation before we get the NHL draft going, before we get training camp going for the Buffalo Bills. This is Zach Jones here on WGR and the extended version of the Extra Point Show. Welcome. Good Wednesday. It's okay. Corey Wright, it's okay. I mean, like, it's a little cloudy out there.
These past 2 days have felt like fall.
Almost. They have.
Pre-fall.
They have. It, very much a pre-fall feeling. And it actually got me thinking a little bit because, you know, we were around like the 70s. I wouldn't necessarily keep my window open at night, you know, to get some fresh air. It'd be a little cold. You know, made me think a little bit about some, like, you know, the NFL season. It's right around the corner, realistically. Rookies report July 18th for the Buffalo Bills. Training camp then, I believe, begins the 24th. I know veterans report July 23rd. It got me thinking about some bold predictions for the NFL season. I have never been one to shy away from being wrong and not necessarily making bad predictions, but at least, you know, running with something that I believe, and maybe I believe for no other reason other than, yeah, why not? It sounds like a fun time. So I wrote an article. Corey, you've been training on the morning show for the past, what would you say, about a week, right?
It's been about 2 weeks now.
Been about 2 weeks.
Like,
oh, you're
this
right.
This week,
yeah.
And then last week.
Yeah, you started Monday last week. So essentially, as if anyone was listening to the morning show, Howard Simon has been notoriously making fun of me for basically just sitting here and not really doing anything. So I decided to write an article. And you can find that at our website, WGR550.com. I wrote 10 bold predictions, and that's where we're going to take today's show. It's just we're going to run through that, take your calls at 803-0550. You can tweet at me as well at Zachary Jones 198. Give me your bold predictions. What do you think is going to happen this season? Doesn't necessarily have to be about the Bills. It can be about the NFL as a whole. I have a number of predictions on here that don't involve the Bills at all. I really am fascinated by the NFC this year, and I think we're in a little bit of a, I don't want to say a changing of the guard, but I think some of the more poorly run teams are going to finally get their comeuppance. Now that they've lost their potentially future Hall of Fame quarterback, other teams that have notoriously been just a tire fire potentially may have found a head coach and really sort of turned the season around and have been making great moves. We're going to have some pop-off players in their second year, not necessarily rookies that become household names, but second-year players or third-year players, a la Deebo Samuel from last year. So we're going to run through that a little bit today to kind of get this. I'm going to say it's a lovely Wednesday. I went outside to go get lunch, so I got to feel the nice cool breeze on my face. It's not bad. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for lunch, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. It literally gave me something to do. I had done my show prep in about like a half hour, and I was like, I have nothing else to do. Like, and I was going to order it in because I don't want to drive around, but I'm like, I need to do something. So yes, actually, thank you for that, for just like allowing me to like get out of the office. But we're just going to hop right in, and I think, you know, it's a great way to start it by absolutely just throwing just. We're just going to see what happens. So, on my article, I decided to just do 10. I'm not going to go out here and go crazy. We had a guest on a few weeks ago on the Howard and Jeremy show. I am blanking on his name right now, but he had 100 bold predictions. And I heard that, and I audibly gasped. That's a lot of predictions. I like to like think I'm almost going to be 100% right. Like, I like to fool myself into the potential that that could happen. There's not a shot that I could ever convince myself that with 100 predictions, I'd even maybe get 50 correct. There's no way. Like, Corey, right? Like, I feel like if you put up 100, you're really praying like 15 of them are close.
Yeah, a lower number is probably the one that you're shooting for there.
Exactly.
100 is... If you get all those right, you should buy a lottery ticket now.
Well, if I get those all right, like, I'm contacting, like, all the news sources I can and be like, I am Nostradamus. Like, I am the philosopher of our age, and you need to know why. But starting right off, and I think just let's just jump into a crazy one. The Seattle Seahawks. I think a lot of us have heard a lot about them in this offseason. Russell Wilson, of course, now the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson did lead the Seattle Seahawks to two Super Bowl appearances in his career there, one Super Bowl win. But he's not there anymore. In the last 2 years, we've had the Let Russ Cook movement take over Seattle. That worked out for about half a season, the sort of empty stadium era of 2020. He was incredible to start that year. But by the time the Bills had played them, Russell Wilson's play had somewhat dipped. The offense seemed to be very archaic. And Russell Wilson still does not have an MVP. And last year, he dealt with a hand injury. And his play seemingly dipped as well. Well, now he's in Denver, and the quarterbacks for the Seattle Seahawks are Drew Lock and Geno Smith. And you're thinking, all right, so Zach's probably going to say, oh, my bold prediction is Drew Lock's the quarterback of Seattle Seahawks. No, I don't care. I don't really – my prediction will not change depending on who the quarterback is for the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're a poorly, poorly run organization. I think they have been somewhat saved by a future Hall of Fame quarterback, seemingly saving them – almost every game. I look at Russell Wilson a lot as the modern day John Elway. John Elway, a lot of the times, had to save his early Denver Broncos teams effectively from themselves. They like to run the ball a lot with not really a great run game. They had a pretty solid defense to a really good defense, but he would come in the fourth quarter and he would win them games. But then whenever they played truly great teams, his first three Super Bowls, they were clearly outmatched. And then by the time he got later in his career, when he was allowed to throw a little bit more, he actually got a good running game. He wins back-to-back Super Bowls to end his career. I don't know if Russell Wilson will have that happen now that he is the Denver Broncos quarterback, but it definitely could happen. However, with the Seattle Seahawks, and this is where this prediction is for, I have them finishing as the worst team in the NFL and a 1-16 record. I know what you're saying, Zach, that's aggressive. That's a bit much. Since 1980, there's only been 11 teams to do so, to finish with one win. Here's my thing. I think ultimately to finish with one or less wins in an NFL season, a lot has to go wrong. A lot has to almost, like the stars almost have to perfectly align. And I think they are for Seattle. Number one, your division has to be good, if not great. I think their division's great. Arizona is maybe like the one team of the other three that you look at and go, what's there? Cliff Kingsbury can't finish the season, right? They'll start off really hot. They started off last year, I think 9-1, and it fell off unbelievably quickly to the point where by the time they got into the playoffs in the wild card round, they were essentially a dead team just walking and waiting for the season to end. But they've got talent. Kyler Murray is a very good quarterback, at times elite. DeAndre Hopkins will be out for the first six games with a PED suspension, but he will be back. And even if he's not, Seattle's defense is not good enough for me to sit here and go, yeah, Arizona can't sweep them, not without DeAndre Hopkins. Who's on their defense that's good? Bobby Wagner, gone. Jamal Adams, kind of the reason they're in this situation, right? Not a great coverage safety, kind of an undersized linebacker. He gets sacks. He's an exciting player. But I don't really think even the Jets miss him when they traded him. They had Marcus May for a few years, and he was a better coverage safety. Where am I supposed to look at Seattle and go, yeah, even Arizona without DeAndre Hopkins, they can maybe steal a game? Maybe you think Drew Lock can pull something, right? He's got DK Metcalf. He's got Tyler Lockett. He's got Kenneth Walker now in the backfield, a rookie out of Michigan State. I like DK Metcalf. I really like DK Metcalf. If some of you saw my Twitter account, when Russell Wilson got traded, I was heavy on the Bills should trade a first-round pick to get DK Metcalf. But there was a reason I was saying that. DK is a great player. But it's because Josh Allen has a great deep ball, like Russell Wilson does. And I thought Josh Allen could absolutely be one of the quarterbacks to get the most out of DK Metcalf. I do not see that with Drew Lock, and I especially do not see that with Geno Smith. Tyler Lockett, not necessarily the physical athlete that DK Metcalf is, but just as good of a deep receiver. But likewise, he needs a quarterback that can consistently hit a deep ball. I don't think I'm being ridiculous when I say Russell Wilson may have the best deep ball of the last 25 years. His statistics would prove it. He had a perfect passer rating for 3 or 4 years when throwing to Tyler Lockett over 25 yards. Their defense is not good. Their offensive line sure is improved, but it's still not great. Their running backs, Chris Carson may be retiring. He should probably retire after his neck injury. Kenneth Walker, undersized and fast, but with a bad O-line, may not mean much. And then, let's go to the rest of their division. The Rams, well, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Matthew Stafford, now another year in the Sean McVay system. They add Allen Robinson. Potentially, maybe even, you know, bringing back Odell Beckham Jr. for a late season run. Cooper Kupp had the triple crown in receiving last year with receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Their running backs, Cam Akers is back. Their line is pretty good. Their defense. Yes, they lost Von Miller, of course, to Buffalo. Aaron Donald is back. We know that. Their secondary, Jalen Ramsey, may be the best cornerback in football, and he has been for a few years. You're not escaping with a win if you're Seattle. You're not. And then San Francisco. We're going to hear a little bit more about San Francisco as I go on, so I'm not going to speak too much on them here, but just know I'm very bullish on how good I think they are. They made the NFC Championship game with who I believe in, Jimmy Garoppolo, is a below-average quarterback. They now get Trey Lance, who has all the physical tools, all the traits that you'd want for now a modern-day great NFL quarterback. Oh, and Kyle Shanahan's his coach. Kyle Shanahan is the reason why Matt Ryan won an MVP. So you get that. You're going to have to deal with those three teams. It doesn't look good. The Jets last year were the only team in the NFL to go 0-6 in their divisional matchups. Seattle will absolutely join that this year. Their schedule also is not great. It's fine, but it's not the best. They're not walking in going, you'll probably just squeak out a few wins here and there. Like, you'll be fine. It's not, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But it's, this is what happens when you can't draft. John Snyder has been a bad GM for a number of years. You can say, well, he drafted DK Metcalf. Yeah, DK Metcalf was a first-round talent that every NFL GM seemingly just told themselves, yeah, no, he's really not. He's not actually that good. They open up the season with Denver, as we all know, because Russell Wilson's going to return. Russell Wilson's going to put up 45 on him. There's not a doubt in my mind he doesn't absolutely toy with this team. San Francisco, as I mentioned, I'm very bullish on how good I think they are or how good they can be this year. Atlanta, they could win that game. They could win that game. But Marcus Mariota is a very, very good game manager. And I think Kyle Pitts could be a player that in his second year breaks out. So I'm not 100% sure how that goes. It's at home. But we'll see. At Detroit. We're going to hear a little bit about Detroit coming up. They're not winning that game. At New Orleans, you're not winning that game. Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than Drew Lock or Geno Smith. Arizona, at the Chargers. Giants, we'll see how that one goes. That one's interesting. Arizona again, at Tampa. Then you're on your Week 11 bye. There's a likelihood they don't have any wins there. They also could have one, maybe two. But then they end their season, Vegas, Rams, Carolina's but I think they get Baker Mayfield. And I think Baker Mayfield does make Carolina a much better team. Not great, but a much better team. San Francisco, Kansas City, the Jets, and the Rams. That's not a good schedule. If your quarterback play might be the worst in the league, your running back is fine, potentially could be really good, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that. And your receivers, who, by the way, we have no idea if DK Metcalf's going to play for that team. We have no idea what's going to happen there. He absolutely could sit out. He didn't go to mandatory minicamps. So we have no idea what's going to go on there. Now, to be fair, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, probably in the second hour, Terry McLaurin did sign his contract extension with the Washington Commanders. Signed a 3-year, $71 million, $28 million signing bonus. DK Metcalf could absolutely have that happen as we head into training camp. Absolutely could. Why would he? He's going to break the bank if he gets to the open market. And he'll be able to pick his quarterback. To a certain extent. But as we're all seeing, especially with the Rams, especially with a lot of these teams, the salary cap, which will be going up, you can mess around with it. You can bring in talent. You're okay. You'll be fine. So for me, for my first one, and one I didn't really have to think a ton about, I don't think Seattle is a good team. I think they're a very, very bad team. And I think they could be an historically bad team with one win. I think Pete Carroll is one of the first coaches fired because, to be fair, as much as he has been a legend there, he's the reason Russell Wilson's not there anymore. And the moment his, we're only going to run the ball and we're going to keep games close, the moment that's not working because his defenses are bad and because his running game is still not great and he doesn't have a quarterback to sort of will a win out of them, he's out the door. Seattle is leaning in now very quickly to a full-scale rebuild. So for my first bold prediction, I do have the Seattle Seahawks finishing with the worst record in the NFL at 1-16. Second one, again, I'm not even going to be gentle about this. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals make the playoffs this year. Now, again, I know they made the Super Bowl. They also lost it. And that recently has not been great for teams, especially teams that seemingly make a surprise run. Carolina in 2015 went 15-1. They lose the Super Bowl, of course, to the Denver Broncos. They go down to 6-10 the next season. The Atlanta Falcons made their Super Bowl in 2016. I just mentioned Kyle Shanahan giving, essentially helping Matt Ryan win his MVP. They make the playoffs the next year, but as we've all seen with the Atlanta Falcons since then, it has not been good. I've never seen a team not recover from a game like the Atlanta Falcons have not recovered from 28-3. They've never recovered from it. They had to get rid of Matt Ryan. They had to get rid of Julio Jones. They had to get rid of everybody just to kind of get that stench, that almost that toxic feeling of what that game was off their chest. That's what they had to do. They have not been the same since. The San Francisco 49ers went 13-3 in 2019. They go 6-10 in 2020. They had a plethora of injuries. It's tough to get to the Super Bowl. It is a wear and tear on your body. In a recent one as well, the Rams, yes, they just won the Super Bowl last year. But when they played, or when they lost to the New England Patriots, the next year they went 9-7 and they missed the playoffs. It is not out of the realm of possibility. And it is especially not out of the realm of possibility when you look back at why Cincinnati realistically made the Super Bowl. They go 10-7, but they got a Cleveland Browns team with a wounded duck, essentially, in Baker Mayfield, willing his way to, you know, to play, to be there for his team. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to be there for his team. It did not work out. Cleveland fell apart. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger basically wasn't playing quarterback last year. You cannot convince me he was playing quarterback. Not a throw was over 5 yards. So that defense was still good, though. But now they're going to be a little bit more settled in with Mitch Trubisky, potentially a rookie in Kenny Pickett. We'll see when Pickett gets in. And Baltimore. What was that? I mean, those injuries were unbelievable. They lost three cornerstones of their team before the season started. And Lamar still had him at 8-3 at one point. And let's just be honest with ourselves. In a loaded AFC, you may not have the luxury to finish second in your division. If your record is 10-7 or 9-8, you may not have that luxury. The AFC West likely is probably going to put out three playoff teams in Kansas City, LA, and Denver. You do not have the luxury to finish second. And Baltimore, in my personal opinion, is a better football team. I think Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is maybe the best combination of wide receiver quarterback talent in the NFL right now. But Baltimore's just a better team, I think. Now, when we get to the playoffs, we'll see if it's, I don't want to say gimmicky, but still kind of rough around the edges. But they went 8-9 last year with Lamar being out for most of the end of the season and all those injuries I said before. And let's just go to Cincinnati's schedule real quick. Let's see where they're starting. They get Pittsburgh, Dallas to start the season. They could absolutely start 2-0 right there. They get the Jets 3-0. Miami, we'll see how improved Miami is with Tyreek Hill. I don't think Tua is the answer there, but Tyreek Hill's a game changer. Then you get Baltimore. They blew out Baltimore twice last year. So I think that's where, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, nah, I can't see Baltimore winning the division, I would not really fight against you on it. Baltimore got blown out twice last year by Cincinnati. They get New Orleans, they get Atlanta, they get Cleveland, they get Carolina, and another bye week. You're thinking, all right, that's a pretty good run right there. The end of the season is not so nice. Pittsburgh again in Pittsburgh, at Tennessee, Kansas City, Cleveland, Tampa, New England, Buffalo, and Baltimore. They cannot afford to drop games near the end of the season. They can't. It's gonna be tough for Cincinnati. I know they improved their O-line. I know their defense is a bit better. But especially with losing in the fashion they did, Ja'Marr Chase was open if they had blocking there for Burrow. That is a tough hill to climb again. And especially with, look, there are reports out now, Deshaun Watson may only get 6 to 8 games. And he could be playing again. Now all of a sudden you have a Cleveland team who is very, very good with a very, very good talent at quarterback. And if Pittsburgh, if their defense is just stingy enough, that can cause so many issues. Cincinnati, I'm not saying it has to be perfect, but a lot went right for them to even just win their division last year. And they were only 10-7. And they put up some unbelievable performances to end the season. I'm not as aggressive on this one as I am on Seattle, but I'm there. But we're going to go back to Seattle. We're going to get connected to our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelbert and O'Connell. They take your personal injury cases personally. Jay in Los Angeles, you're on the, I guess I'm going to call it the extended extra point show. You want to talk a little bit about Seattle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you for calling in.
I'm aboard, man. I enjoy listening to you. Hey, I just think you're putting a little bit of a blame too much on Pete Carroll with the Seattle situation. Because if you look at it, Seattle won their first Super Bowl and went back to the second Super Bowl and lost in the famous, you know, don't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch deal. So they won with clearly a dominant defense. And then right after that, Russell Wilson signed his big contract and they started losing guys on their defense, so that team was never the same. I kind of put that more on Russell Wilson than his contract. I mean, he did not take a team-friendly deal. I mean, pretty much maxed out on what he could at that time. And to me, that's what started the spiral of the Seattle team, which really won the defense at that time.
Yeah, Jay, thanks for the call, man. And I definitely agree with that. It's not all on Pete Carroll. To be perfectly honest, the one I would actually put it on is not Russell Wilson as like the number one reason why. I would put it on the GM, John Snyder. Because you're right. I mean, look, looking back at those Seattle Seahawks teams of the early 2010s going into 2015, 2016 were some of the best teams I've ever seen in terms of on paper, Hall of Fame talent, elite talent, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, Cam Chancellor. And you're right, it was built through defense, but it was built through defense and really savvy drafting, getting guys late, getting guys that were maybe undersized. After Russell Wilson signed that contract, John Snyder seemed to basically lose any touch he had when it came to drafting players. They've never been able to get the replacement to Marshawn Lynch that they've been looking for. They've been able to get the receiver help that they had. I mean, they had Kearse. Lockett was a part of some of those teams. But really, it just became, look, you're not really signing free agents because at that time, Russell Wilson was somewhat solo in the I'm now the highest paid player. Because typically you would see that with really good quarterbacks on bad teams. Matthew Stafford for Detroit is kind of the one I think of. But they weren't drafting well. They were missing guys routinely that just were not, I don't even want to say not NFL talent, no, but just they were not replaceable talent. And I think as well that second Super Bowl, the decision to throw it on the goal line and not run it did leave some open wounds for that team. It really did. The defense was never appreciative. And appreciative is not the right word. They never really got over that Super Bowl. They then very much did sort of get defensive about who really was, you know, the architect of that team or that almost dynasty. Was it the defense? Was it Russell Wilson's play? And to be fair, Russell Wilson's play was big. We have not a lot in NFL history seen a historically great defense also paired with an above average at that time quarterback in Russell Wilson. Look at, you know, all the great defenses we've seen before, especially in the modern era. The 2000 Ravens had Trent Dilfer and Tony Banks. The 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks, I'm pretty sure, had Brad Johnson. And then the no-fly zone with the Denver Broncos had Peyton Manning at the end of his career, and that was essentially painful to watch. The 85 Bears had Jim McMahon, which I know some people love Jim McMahon. I can't stand him. He's horribly overrated for his era, but that's a topic for a different day. And it's almost like I think Seattle has now hit a point, and this I think is my big point with Seattle. The years of truly atrocious drafting are going to catch up to you. Your Hall of Fame quarterback is gone. Your drafting is not good. DK Metcalf is really good. That's fine. But you kind of lucked into him because no one took him in the top 15 when he should have gone. And that's the thing, too. I'm not going to give them credit for DK Metcalf when every draft nut watching the combine, watching his highlights, saw, okay, that's a top 15 talent. And every GM in football went, but it's three-cone drill. The one thing DK Metcalf did wrong leading up to that was run the three-cone drill at the combine. Everything else he did was spectacular. And the Seattle Seahawks lucked into him. There's nothing there necessarily for me to grab onto with the Seahawks. The Adams trade was bad from the word go. Russell Wilson is gone. DK Metcalf may not even play for you. Lockett is, I think, 31, I want to say. So he's on the wrong end of his age in his career. And their defense, Bobby Wagner is gone. That was the last linchpin you had of those great teams. And in part, to get better, to get back to where you were, you do somewhat have to hit rock bottom. I am someone that subscribes to the theory that the Bills, the reason why our drought went on as long as it did, is we never truly hit rock bottom. We were truly never the worst team in football. Because in part, that has to happen. I know tanking is a little bit of a touchy subject on this station. I know. The Jack Eichel thing did not work out with the Sabres. But at times, especially in the NFL, to truly get an elite player, to truly get potentially Hall of Fame talent, you do got to pick number one overall. And I think with Seattle especially, because, I mean, a big point I've also made is that their quarterback situation is at best a joke, at worst, truly one of the worst I've seen. They are going to have an option here in the 2023 draft, which is much better at quarterback. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis from Kentucky is going to be a name. Come September, you will hear a lot if you watch college football. I promise you that. They will have a shot to build this. If they can convince DK Metcalf, just give us a year. Just finish out this season with us. We're going to sign you to a long-term deal. We're going to bring a kid in. They can weather this storm because I think the Arizona Cardinals are very quickly going to become irrelevant. I think very quickly they're going to become irrelevant. So they are going to have a shot here to come back. But at least this year, I have them as the worst team in football. And again, to reiterate my second one, I do not have the Cincinnati Bengals making the playoffs after losing last year's Super Bowl to the Los Angeles Rams. We are going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to run through the rest of my list. We're going to keep doing that today. So if you want to call in at 803-0550, you can tweet at me as well, at ZacharyJones198. Give me your bold predictions for this upcoming NFL season. It can be Bills. It can be a random team that you see a player, you really like him. It can be fantasy related. Whatever you want to talk about in terms of bold predictions, or you want to talk a little bit about Kevin Adams' comments yesterday on both the Howard and Jeremy show with Paul Hamilton's one-on-one yesterday. We can also obviously talk about that. We're going to get to that and much more here on WGR and the extended Extra Point show. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But I think a lot of people think if they didn't have a quarterback for the next year, would there be any chance of reconciliation there?
No, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out, but we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides.
Welcome back into the extended Extra Point Show. Zach Jones with you. No Instigators or One Bills Live for the next few days as they prepare for the NHL draft. The Sabres have, of course, 3 first-round picks this year. And Bills training camp, that starts. Rookies report July 18th. I believe the first practice is the July 24th. We're talking bold predictions today for the NFL season, the 2022 season. I initially started, we're going through an article I wrote for the website, you know, the last few days. Corey Jackson, he's been here essentially training for me. I'm going to go on vacation next week, or actually at the end of this week. So he's been training with me, and he's fantastic. So I have not had to do anything. So I decided I'm going to write an article. We're going to see what happens. And I decided to do bold predictions because, you know, the weather outside has been very fallish this week, which has been kind of nice. I've enjoyed it. I'm a big heat guy, but I've enjoyed like around 70, 65-ish. It's been nice. It's been a different change of pace that I've enjoyed. But to recap what we heard in the first segment, I think, number one, the Seattle Seahawks are going to finish with the worst record in the NFL at 1-16. They're going to be the 12th team since 1980 to finish with just one win. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals will miss the playoffs after losing the Super Bowl. That has been a recent phenomenon of teams losing the Super Bowl and having a rough next season. Not necessarily saying they're going to be a bad team in the next 5 to 10 years. I think Burrow and Chase are an unbelievable combination, but just at least for next year, it's a tough mountain to climb again. But moving on to number three, and I'm going to combine 3 and 4 because I kind of did in my article as well, and you can find that at WGR550.com. I like the Lions. I'm not afraid to say it. I like the Detroit Lions. I like what they're doing, and it feels weird, especially when you look back last year during the coach hiring season, Dan Campbell, he had interesting press conferences. He had some interesting press conferences. We heard, of course, him talking about, you know, they were going to bite kneecaps and all that stuff. And it was a little bit of a joke, but I think most of us that were watching that kind of all came to the same conclusion. This could be bad, or this is going to be great. And I think we're teetering towards great. I really do. And I know last year they finished 3-13-1. They were not good on the record standing. But they played a ton of close games, and they got better as the season went on. And now they've added talent. And their division, the NFC North, I don't really think has. The Vikings seem to be ever so close to teetering towards a rebuild. I think this is going to be the last year Kirk Cousins plays for that franchise. And the Chicago Bears, I'm a huge Justin Fields guy. I was talking to Corey in the break because he asked me, he goes, you big Justin Fields guy? And I was huge. I'm not going to say I was borderline, you know, losing my mind as he kept falling, but like the idea of him winding up with the Patriots that night in that moment had me legitimately fearing the next 5 to 10 years because we had just seen Josh Allen pop off and I was so excited because it looked like, you know, it's full steam ahead, we're fine. And then that was going to happen and it was going to stress me out. But he winds up with the Bears, and it's not been good. We're through year one, But there's nothing there. There's no real talent there. There's nothing for you to grab onto. And they look to be in a full-blown rebuild. And then the Green Bay Packers. Devontae Adams is gone. He's not a part of that organization anymore. And he was maybe the most targeted receiver in football, not named Cooper Kupp, who just had the triple crown in receiving. Devontae Adams is an unbelievable Hall of Fame talent. He's now in Vegas. Where Detroit, well, Detroit added all offseason. And they ended last season, like I was saying a few minutes ago, on a very good note. Namely, their quarterback, Jared Goff. Some of you may know me. Some of you who may be listening are friends of mine who watched the Los Angeles Rams New England Patriots Super Bowl and know I don't like Jared Goff. I don't like him even slightly. I had some choice words for him to say, or I had some choice words to say for him during that Super Bowl. Some of which, if not all of which, I cannot repeat on the radio. But he improved. He played well at the end of the season. I'm not going to give you his full season stats because they're not great. But in his last five games last year, he had 11 touchdown passes to only two interceptions, 73 completion percentage, and over 1,100 yards. And then this team added DJ Chark at wide receiver and rookie Jameson Williams. And that goes along with Amon-Ra St. Brown and the tight end in TJ Hockenson. They also have one of the best offensive lines in football. And an alright to solid defense that may get a big pop from cornerback Jeff Okuda, who has been dealing with a lot of injuries in his first 2 years in the league. This will be one of his first seasons he's entering where he's healthy. But my big thing, and really why I think this team is going to pop off, is if you guys were listening to me during the NFL draft, if you were listening to the morning show, you will know I was a big wide receiver connoisseur this year, and I'm probably going to be for the next 15 years. That's kind of where the college game, the NFL game is going. Jameson Williams was the best receiver in this class. He was unbelievable at Alabama, his only season at Alabama. He played at Ohio State the 2 years prior before transferring just because, I mean, loaded a talent over in Columbus. His 1 year there, he played 15 games, 79 receptions, 1,572 yards, and 15 touchdowns. He was the best wide receiver in college football. And then he tore his ACL. And that allowed, to a certain extent, Detroit to get him. Now, I will tell you, and I had to look this up because I wanted to make sure, he will likely not be ready for the start of training camp. But he will likely be ready for the start of the season. And that's why I'm going to give you a little bit of a twofer here. I'm going to give you both of these predictions. Number one, I think Detroit finishes second in the NFC North and they make the playoffs. Unlike the AFC, where I think it's dangerous to even try to consider finishing second in your division, the NFC is a little different. It's not that good. It's very top-heavy. Green Bay, Tampa, San Francisco, the Rams. And they're very good teams. Those are very, very good teams. After that, kind of up in the air of who's actually good. It's kind of up in the air of even what quarterbacks you can expect to see in the playoffs. And that's why having Jared Goff as your starter in the NFC is not necessarily a bad thing for a season or two. You can absolutely make the playoffs in the NFC with him as your quarterback. But for my fourth prediction, to go along with the Lions finishing second in the NFC North and making the playoffs their first since 2016, Jameson Williams wins Rookie of the Year. We have seen over the last 2 years this almost meteoric rise of rookie wide receiver talent coming into the NFL and immediately making a huge difference for a team. Justin Jefferson 2 years ago with the Minnesota Vikings, and of course last year Ja'Marr Chase with the Cincinnati Bengals. One of those guys had an elite quarterback, Joe Burrow thrown to Ja'Marr Chase. Justin Jefferson did really good with Kirk Cousins, who is fine. He's fine, but as I said earlier in the segment, I think we're getting very close to a rebuild in Minnesota. And that there's not much there. They're not going to really be a competitive team. So Justin Jefferson is putting up historic numbers on a team that is barely competitive. And along with that, and I think the main point here, is Jameson Williams is not dealing with a very strong quarterback class for this rookie class. He's not at all. Kenny Pickett's the only guy taken in the first round. And we don't know when Kenny Pickett's going to start. He's going on Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh has a pretty good plethora of weapons. But look, and some of you have maybe heard me when I've hosted Sports Talk Saturday or even the Nightcap over the past few weeks. I don't trust Kenny Pickett. He wears two gloves. I can't trust that in terms of actually putting up yards and touchdowns. It's never happened. Peyton Manning, I will grant you, but he was great before he did. He had to wear that because he literally could not feel his fingertips. Kenny Pickett has to wear it because his hands are too small to grip the ball. He does have difficulty with it. Don't let anyone tell you that he doesn't. Don't let him tell you he doesn't. He's saying that so he gets money, and that's fine, and I'm all for it. But I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, Kenny Pickett's absolutely going to throw, you know, 26 touchdowns and 10 picks and be one of the best rookie quarterbacks we've ever seen, and he's going to walk away with Rookie of the Year. I physically can't see that. I've tried to see it. I've literally tried to envision myself seeing it. I can't. Because it would be a fun story for the Steelers. They missed out on Dan Marino back in 83. He was a Pittsburgh prodigy. Born and raised in the city. And they don't pick him. He went right by him. And they have a not great 80s and 90s because of it. Now they were put in the same position. Kenny Pickett had a great year in college for Pittsburgh. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be what they want it to be. It's not. Kenny Pickett has a very average arm. He's kind of athletic. He was just a really good college quarterback in a very, very bad draft class. Desmond Ridder, when's he going to start over Marcus Mariota? Malik Willis, when's he going to get over Ryan Tannehill? Matt Corral may start for Carolina. That may happen. I wouldn't bank on it. And to be fair, I wouldn't really bank on NFL voters really caring about a third or fourth round rookie. Look at the treatment Davis Mills gets today. And to end his rookie season, he was probably the best rookie quarterback. So I would not bank on those guys all of a sudden having this, well, he's clearly the best, like, you know, like he's a quarterback. We got to vote for him. Why? Look at the receiver talent that has been coming off of these draft boards on NFL teams and immediately making the jump. I just gave you the top two in Jefferson and Chase. CeeDee Lamb is one of those guys that came off a board and immediately was an impact player. Gabriel Davis for the Bills as a fourth rounder was an immediate impact guy. And a big thing, and a really, really big reason why I think Jameson Williams will win Rookie of the Year is he's not a solo artist. DJ Chark is maybe one of the most underappreciated receivers in football. He has a Pro Bowl. He has a 1,000-yard season, but it was in Jacksonville. No one cares. No one remembers that. And then he got hurt. TJ Hockenson is a top-five tight end. Amon St. Brown had an unbelievable year last year. And Jared Goff will have a great offensive line in front of him to make that work. And Jameson Williams is a game breaker. Do not kid yourself. Do not make that mistake. He is a game breaker. Is he someone I necessarily trust in terms of drafting in fantasy? Kinda. He actually is. He is actually somebody I would trust drafting in later rounds in fantasy, but I would be absolutely for it. Not against it at all. I think the Lions are turning a corner here. And I think they're making right moves in the sense that if Goff is not the guy, they can make the playoffs next year and still move off. They can try to pull a Kansas City where they have Goff, but they like C.J. Stroud. They like Bryce Young. They like Will Levis. They can absolutely be that team that trades up to, you know, 13th or 14th in the first round to draft their quarterback. How many teams right now do you really think need quarterbacks? I think the Giants are probably going to be one of those teams. The Eagles, maybe. Washington, potentially. Jacksonville, probably not. Chicago, probably not. These are some of your top teams that may be up there. Philadelphia, certainly not. I think they're going to be a playoff team. But, you know, the Giants, Washington, Jacksonville, Chicago are going to be teams that are up there at the top of the board. They likely won't be picking a quarterback. Detroit has set themselves up perfectly that Goff could be a really solid guy for them, or their team is really good and they go get a young quarterback. Detroit, I do believe, is turning a corner, and I really think they're turning a corner because they're preparing for the end of Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love did not look good last year when we saw him against Kansas City. He did not look ready. I will not be surprised and will not even really bat an eye if Jordan Love is traded by by the Green Bay Packers to try to get something, to try to salvage what was a truly boneheaded decision by that front office. But to be fair, it's the Green Bay Packers, and I don't truly expect much in terms of actually thinking modernly. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, you've heard me say it a little bit more, or a little bit before, the New England Patriots. We're going to talk a little bit about them, where I think they're going to wind up with the 2022 season. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're also going to talk a little bit about Terry McLaurin and his deal that he got yesterday. What does that mean for the Bills? Gabriel Davis, Dawson Knox. Talk a little bit about that here on the Extended Extra Point Show on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Josh waiting to throw it, fires towards the 2-yard line, caught by Gabriel Davis, scoots into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo, again, another touchdown, a 19-yard strike, Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis.
Cold night in Buffalo, probably going to be my favorite playoff game for a long time. You know, we were talking a little bit about the fall weather that's been going on the last few days. Corey, it's supposed to be 86 degrees tomorrow.
Sounds like a day in the pool. Right there.
That's a day in the pool, right there. 86 degrees, it's like, all right, I'm not doing anything today. I'm in the water. Like, that's it. Welcome back to the Extended Extra Point Show. Zach Jones with you. No instigators or one Bills live for the next few days as they get ready for the NHL draft and the start of NFL training camps. Corey, I'm glad you played that clip. I was telling you because you told me like what we're coming back with, and I just smiled at you. So I'm glad you brought that back. You were at that game, correct? The wild card game against the Patriots in the freezing cold.
I was there, saw everything happen, witnessed it firsthand. One of the greatest nights of my life as a Bills fan, if not the greatest, up until this point.
Yeah, I did not go. I had to work, of course, the next day in the morning. My brother went. He echoes everything you just said. He's a big Bills fan, but I wouldn't say he's like a diehard. And like I think that game made him a diehard. He's like, I'm here, I'm ready. I went through hell and back with the cold. I'm ready to go. Like he was jazzed up after that game. And to be fair, it's tough not to. 7 touchdowns and 7 possessions. And I don't think New England got any better. I think that it's pretty. That's where they're at.
I agree with you. Yeah, I think they didn't get better. But one of the things that made that game really special was I was away for school. I live in Buffalo, but mm-hmm. I went to Oswego for school. So over the past 4 years, I really didn't get to go to too many Bills games just because, you know, I was there. So one of my friends that I went with to that game is a diehard Patriots fan, and we had gone to the game in December, the win game, and you know that was embarrassing for me because the whole way there, you know, I was in his ear like, well, the Patriots aren't what they used to be. You know, we're gonna win. And needless to say, the ride home that night was not fun for me. So, you know, to finally, you know, get a chance to play the Patriots again, same sort of circumstances, more on the line this time, and the Bills just knocked it out of the park. And just the look on his face after every single shout song that played throughout that night, it just got worse and worse. So it was just a party in the Ralph that night, Highmark Stadium, as they call it now. And yeah, just one of the best moments for me as a Bills fan. The only thing that might top it, I wasn't there for it, but it would be the Taron Johnson 101 pick six.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Yep. That was a great feeling. That was a great feeling. Oh,
I'm so glad
we're a playoff team, by the way, because like playoff games are so much better than like middle of the season, like regular season games where you're like, that was a great moment. Don't care. It was week 10. Now I've got like wild card, divisional, and conference championship moments. I don't think the Patriots are going to have many of those for the next few years. My fifth bowl prediction, this one, I specifically tried to time this out so it was at the end of the hour because I've kind of talked to death about this point and I have buried this team a number of times. I think they're finishing fourth in the AFC East. I do not think the New England Patriots are a very good football team. I think we've seen the best of Mac Jones. I don't think it gets much better from here. I think he's going to be this generation's Andy Dalton without A.J. Green. They added Devontae Parker to the wide receiver room. I don't think it matters. They don't have an offensive coordinator. That's going to hurt Mac Jones. That is going to hurt him in his second year. Their defense did not get better. I do like Christian Barmore, though. I like him at defensive tackle. I think he's going to be a top five run stopper, but I don't think that matters because they didn't replace J.C. Jackson. He's gone to the Chargers. He couldn't really stop many of the great receivers in the AFC anyways, so I don't think it's that much better for them, or I don't think it's that much worse for them. But they're not a good football team. Bill Belichick, and it's fine to say this, and it's fine to admit that it happened because none of us, none of the pundits or anybody's going to look back at his last 3 or 4 years and go, yeah, Bill Belichick actually wasn't that great of a coach. He is a great coach who also got the greatest quarterback of all time.
I heard Colin Cowherd say a quote that I agreed with. He said, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time, no question. Should have been fired as a GM years ago.
Exactly. Yes, and that's my point, too, is the game passed him by a few years ago. He, like the Seattle Seahawks with John Snyder, cannot draft. His last Pro Bowl he drafted on offense just retired for the second time. It's Rob Gronkowski. That's it. That's it. That's their guy. That's the one. They just drafted Cole Strange, and you had the Rams the next day kind of making fun of it because like, we thought we had him in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, I feel like his MO has always been don't always like take the unorthodox pick,
yeah.
But that's kind of, you know, as you've seen, you mentioned, Zach, I mean, his last all-pro selection was Rob Gronkowski. That was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how well that unorthodox picking is doing him, especially, you know, 12 years later now.
It's not going well. And I'm happy to dance. I'm happy to dance on that grave. I have no issues with it. And if they wind up being good, I will eat crow. I understand it. I'm fine with it. But they're not going to be. They're not. The Miami Dolphins are absolutely better than them. And Bill Belichick's teams have always had trouble playing in Miami. And now they could potentially lose to them. They could potentially get swept. I think another big thing here, and this is something I've also talked about, the Jets are a much improved team. And I mentioned it earlier in the hour. The Jets were the only team last year to go 0-6 in their division. I do not expect that at 2 years in a row. They will at least get a win between the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. And to be fair, and I think if you really think about it, which team do you think they have a more likely shot of beating? It's the Patriots, especially if Zach Wilson takes a good step this year. They get Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Brees Hall, Michael Carter. Quinnen Williams is one of the best pass-rushing D-tackles in football. They're on their way up. The Patriots are actively on their way down, and no one in the NFL is fooled by their gimmicks anymore, by the unorthodox-to-be-unorthodox takes. And along with that, the one big calling card of Bill Belichick, his defenses, yeah, the last 2 years they've ended on tailspins. And now there isn't really much talent there. They look slow, and they look outdated. We're going to take a quick timeout, top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to transition a little bit to fantasy. There's a quarterback I don't necessarily like in terms of being my franchise quarterback, but somebody I really like in terms of being my fantasy starter. That and a little bit more. And Sneaky Joe will be joining me at about 2 o'clock as we take you to Chopin the Bulldog today. All that and a little bit more coming up here on the Extended Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.